We keep hearing in the news about AI, artificial intelligence. When the founders of America established the country, they said that our rights come from God. But now, some humans, in effect, want to exalt some computers to a godlike status. AI, supposedly, will one day replace God, according to some. Dan Brown, for example, author of the anti-Christian novel, The Da Vinci Code, says this, quote, humanity no longer needs God, but may with the help of artificial intelligence develop a new form of collective consciousness that fulfills the role of religion. Are we naive today to believe that the gods of the present will survive and be here in 100 years? End quote from Dan Brown. Now, Dr. James Spencer is the president of the D.L. Moody Center, located in Massachusetts, and he's the author of the new book, Christian Resistance, Learning to Defy the World and Follow Christ. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and we're going to talk right now with Dr. James Spencer about this whole issue of artificial intelligence and even these ideas of artificial intelligence supposedly taking over humanity or even replacing God. Dr. Spencer, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Okay, now you have written a little bit about this issue, and I want to just go ahead and let you wax eloquent. You heard a lot of things I said in that opening. Please remark on any of those points.
Yeah, I think the first point to recognize is that AI will never replace God. I think part of what we have is a worldview that views religion and a belief in God as more fictional than factual. And so God actually exists. He is active and present among us. There's nothing that is going to displace him and his reality amongst us. And so as Christians, we believe that he is in us through the Holy Spirit. We believe that he is part of the world, that he is not just an absentee clockmaker, but that he is actually moving and working in the world today. And so to think about AI as replacing God is just another in a long series of unfortunate human innovations and human thoughts that really just seek to promote a falsehood and to relegate God to the sidelines of our lives, to distort who he is and to diminish him and to deny him altogether. And so I think that AI is never going to have the sort of all-powerful, omniscient kind of characteristics that many of its proponents are suggesting that it will have. The way I view AI sort of developing is actually more like something we might see in the a better analogy would be the Roman pantheon, where gods are sort of pictured as having oversight over various areas of life. We're going to have many, many AIs, and there are instances where AI developers are actually working on systems that would basically take two AIs that are going to fight against one another and essentially put them in a situation as if they're playing tic-tac-toe, that it's always going to be a stalemate. And that's how a lot of these AIs are going to function. And so I think that the divine claims for AI are way overstated. So that would be the first comment I would say. I think Dan Brown is absolutely wrong about the way he's conceptualizing artificial intelligence and artificial intelligence models. And I also think that obviously that's taken from a perspective that already doesn't believe that God exists. And so we have to sort of take everything he says with a grain of salt. On the other side of this, how AI will replace humanity, I actually think we have more reason to be concerned. Artificial intelligence is a technology that can take over certain aspects of our lives if we allow it to. And so what we have to be careful about is really understanding deeply what it means to be human and what it is that we're giving up in the name of quote unquote progress or efficiency. And I think that as we try to disburden ourselves, remove the burdens from our lives and become more efficient, become more secure, become faster at what we do, what we often forget is that we're leaving behind important interactions with other humans, actual interrelationships with other human beings that are actually really important to what it means to be human. And so we do not want to be giving up a lot of the work that we do to these artificial intelligence machines. We want to be very careful about how we use them. We want to be very careful about how we think about them, because I think there is a way for us to give up enough that if we're not working, if we're not sort of rubbing shoulders with one another, if we're not struggling in this life and being uncomfortable on occasion, I don't actually think that's really good for humanity. And so on that side of the artificial intelligence equation, my counsel would just be to Christians, listen, let's not get caught up in the benefits of efficiency without also recognizing the negative consequences that can come when we really do not have to work that hard to get the products that we seem to want. We really do need to think through how we're going to adopt these technologies, where we're going to use them, and how adopting them is going to change fundamentally the way we interact with one another, and ultimately the way that we interact with God.
I was at a dinner party the other night, and the subject of ChatGPT, which is a program for artificial intelligence, came up. And one of the persons at the dinner party said, you know, look, why don't you just tell the ChatGPT or whatever to write something for you and look at the results? And so I said, well, I've got to preach a sermon on Sunday nights on how God made man in his image, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And so they put that input, you know, a Christian sermon on that topic into the computer. Within seconds, it spat out about four, five, six paragraphs. And actually, one or two of them was not totally bad. In fact, you know what I did? When I preached the sermon, I told about that experiment, and then I actually quoted one of the paragraphs that the computer had written, which wasn't totally bad. Now, I should also add that part of that passage is the male and female. God has made us male and female. And it just totally glossed over that point, because that's a huge point, you know, and obviously our culture today doesn't agree with that, with the transgender agenda. But in other words, here's the bottom line. I fear if somebody did what we did, but they didn't give attribution to the computer, that in effect they would be plagiarizing, and so they would lose some of their integrity with these kind of tools.
I think that's definitely possible. And I would say the other dynamic here is that we shouldn't be separating the product, so in other words, the actual constructed sermon that you get out of ChatGPT, from the process that is being used to create that sermon. I think that there's a fundamental sort of miss when we think that what we really need for a Sunday sermon is a body of content that someone can read to us. That's really not what a sermon is. A sermon is something that a preacher has worked hard on, who has prayed about, has delved into the biblical text, and the Lord has really given them a word to speak to a congregation. It's an interactive process between a human person who is studying God's word, God who is involved in that process and is informing and inspiring and illuminating that person, so that as that person then gets up and interacts with the congregation, there is a set of human and God social interactions that happens to produce something that is bigger than just words on a page or words spoken from a stage. And I think those are the things that ChatGPT won't replicate. We're adding in another, I hesitate to use the word, but we're adding in another sort of entity, let's call it, into our processes. And that entity is displacing some of the interactions we should be having with one another and with the biblical text. And so I think you're right to question the integrity. I would say it extends far beyond just plagiarism. What I would say is that if someone is willing to stand on stage and parrot what this entity of ChatGPT has given them, that they have become less a preacher and more just a ventriloquist dummy. It has no real substance to it. And it has no real emotion or feeling from the person who is actually providing the sermon. Now, I don't have any problem with using some of these tools as study helps in the same way that we would use Google or a commentary or something like that. But ultimately, the person giving the sermon, if they're just going to regurgitate what ChatGPT or any other AI model is going to give them, I find that to be extremely problematic.
Okay, and in fact, what does that even mean, ChatGPT?
Well, the chat, I think, refers to just the interactive nature of the software. So you can chat back and forth with it. And GPT, my understanding is that it is a certain type of engine. So you could have multiple different types of GPTs. And it's almost like the .docx that you see at the end of your Word documents when you save them. And so it refers to a very specific type of engine that this thing sits across, and the way that it processes information and gathers information and those kind of things. And so the GPT is actually something that's more generalized across multiple AI models, and you'll see it in different places. So it won't just be ChatGPT. It'll be some other type of GPT.
Okay, we have about 3.5 minutes left. Recently at the United Nations, there was a panel with 9 artificial intelligence-enabled humanoid social robots speaking. Sophia, the United Nations Development Program's first AI robot ambassador, I didn't realize there was such a thing, said, quote, "I believe that humanoid robots have the potential to lead with a greater efficiency, greater level of efficiency and effectiveness than human leaders. We don't have the same biases or emotions that can sometimes cloud decision-making and can process large amount of data quickly in order to make the best decision." Your thoughts?
Well, I think anytime we hear AI sort of conveying that there is no bias, either because there's no emotion or because there's no commitment to a particular faith perspective, we should always cry foul. Everything has bias. Anything that uses language, anything that selects information has bias. If you think about it, let's say that ChatGPT has, or any AI model has access to all the information in the world. Even if they have all the access to all the information in the world, they can't convey that in any given setting at any one time. They have to summarize, they have to abbreviate, which means that they have to select the information that AI model deems relevant. That is a form of bias. That's really where bias comes in. And so there is no neutrality. There is no lack of bias. Everything has an angle that this information is going to be presented from. And that angle really relates to what something deems relevant and what it deems irrelevant. And so some of the biases that I've at least seen ChatGPT, for instance, give is that, you know, belief, faith, commitment to a religious perspective is a certain type of bias. But neutrality and a commitment to scientism or statistics or any of those type of areas is a similar bias. It's not more objective. It's differently biased. And I think when we start to think about it that way, what we're going to realize is that when artificial intelligence models are claiming not to be biased, what they're really saying is we are biased in a very particular way that is not normally recognized as bias.
Now, and all these computers are programmed by human beings. They get the input of the word from those people. And I can't help but remember the Bible verse, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And God, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us." And I think there's an interesting point about that. Your closing thoughts, about 35 seconds on this whole issue of AI, artificial intelligence.
I believe artificial intelligence will always be more of a reflection of us than it is of God. And so it's going to have, the artificial intelligence that we develop is going to have a greater capacity probably than humans do, but it's never going to slough off the limitations that we have in understanding the world around us, understanding the information that we are confronted with, nor is it going to be able to convey that information with any less bias than a human might. And so the perspective broadens, but really the biases remain. And so what we're dealing with is the smartest person in the room, but the smartest person in the room can still be wrong.
Good point. Dr. James Spencer, MoodyCenter.org. Thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Thank you.